prepare for a true revolution.
Actually, you can prove God exists.
Questioning tradition, because what you've been taught isn't always true.
The truth will set you free.
Hey, welcome to Truth Revolution. This is where faith and reason meet. Head on like a freight train in a semi-tractor trailer with a rocket on it.
What are you talking about?
Faith and reason.
They
meet together. So you know how, have you ever seen like
It sounded like you were saying they collide and explode.
They
do. Because they don't get along.
No. I mean, what I'm saying is the super collider. What I'm saying
it's
is
like
it's like the Hadron
collider.
Yeah. Where we smash
good
atoms together and good things happen.
Okay. We'll go with that. And we got a Bible contradiction today. We're going to answer a Bible contradiction like we do every week.
Can we stop calling them Bible contradictions now?
No. And we're going to also answer a listener question if we have time. And we got a lot of content. We're talking about dumb Christian mistakes, part two.
No.
Oh, yeah. Previously, we've done this. We did part one in December of 2013.
And everybody loves it.
And it was a pretty popular show. And so we're going to do part two. We're going to bring up 10 more things that Christians do that's kind of dumb.
You mean there's actually more?
Nah, we're just making it up now. Yeah, these are kind of dumb things Christians do when we try to discuss our ideas with skeptics or with each other. So we're going to go through these things because it's important to examine ourselves and know whether or not we're making good decisions or making bad arguments.
Right. That's totally biblical, too. The Bible tells us to examine ourselves. I mean, you know, we need to watch what comes out of our mouth. We need to watch what's going on in our head.
Yeah, a good principle to examine yourself. So we're going to do that today. Hey, we are from Revolution Church here in Salina, Kansas. Now, if you aren't in Salina, Kansas, you can watch us live online, or we can help you find a good local church wherever you're at if you contact us. You need to get over to truthrevolution.tv. From there, you can find the links to watch us online or contact us with questions.
We got it all.
If you are in Salina and you don't have a home church, then get on over to Revolution Church right now.
The caveat there is if you don't have a home church.
That's right.
We don't want to be stealing people from other churches.
No. If you're at a good church, you stay there.
That's
we would love to have you. You know, if you ain't been to church for a long time, man, this is the place for
you. This is the place to be. If you're looking for a place that doesn't judge and that just loves on you.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
God's more interested in what's going on inside of you than on the outside of you.
Amen.
And so we try to be interested in the same thing that God's interested in, which is the inside, not the outside. Now, we're going to talk about the inside, dumb Christian mistakes that Christians make. And these aren't outside things. This isn't about what you wear or things like that. This is about what's going on the inside of you. And I got a quote from Bill Maher.
Oh, boy.
I know. Usually when we quote Bill Maher, it's like, oh, Bill Maher. Yeah. Well, he's making a bad argument again.
Yeah.
But you know what? Actually,
sometimes he makes good points.
Well, today he made a point. Well, I saw this clip on YouTube, and as soon as I listened to it, my mind was blown.
It wasn't.
I was like, Bill Maher is right. Just listen to what he has to say.
For almost 2,000 years, Christians have been lawyering the Bible to try and figure out how love thy neighbor can mean hate thy neighbor, and how turn the other cheek can mean screw you, I'm buying space lasers.
Wow.
Martin Luther King gets to call himself a Christian because he actually practiced loving his enemies. And Gandhi was so Christian he was Hindu.
Wow.
Yeah.
Oh, there's more.
Oh, there is. Okay.
If you rejoice in revenge, torture, and war, hey, that's why they call it the weekend. You cannot say you're a follower of the guy who explicitly said, love your enemies and do good to those who hate you. Jesus lays on that hippie stuff pretty thick. He has lines like, do not repay evil with evil and do not take revenge on someone who wrongs you. Really, it's in that book you hold up when you scream at gay people.
Wow.
Yeah.
Okay,
yeah.
Now obviously his last thing, it's in that book that you hold up when you scream at gay people. I mean, that was an unnecessary dig. Yeah, right. I mean, that was an unnecessary dig. But he's trying to make the point that, oh, you guys claim that the Bible is the reason you don't like homosexuality and the Bible this and the Bible that, but you don't even follow the Bible. You don't even listen to Jesus.
You know, actually, Bill Maher, that's been one of his biggest issues all along, is a hypocrite.
Yeah.
Hypocrite. Hypocrites, yeah.
Yes. That's hypocritical Christians is one of his biggest problems, and I agree. And this is problem number one, not taking our own religion seriously.
Amen.
We go out there and we say we take it seriously and we want to put our values onto other people, but we're not living by what Jesus told us to live by already.
Right.
We are not taking our religion seriously. We follow Jesus who says, love your enemy. And then what do? When someone wrongs us, we get mad at them. Mm-hmm. We get angry at them. We want to take revenge on them.
Right. And yeah, you know, it's human nature, but we need to stuff that aside, you know?
So that's mistake number one, is not taking our own religion seriously. Mistake number two in this dumb Christian mistake list is not taking skeptics seriously.
Right. Here's the thing about skeptics.
Yeah.
Skeptics do their homework.
They do.
A lot of Christians don't.
Most skeptics do their homework. Right. Now, every once in a while, you run into one who they have absolutely no idea what they're talking about. But my goodness, friend, they sometimes really know what they're talking about. And you got to listen to what they have to say.
Right. Here's the thing that I have found to be true about skeptics.
Okay.
Almost by and large.
Hit me.
Okay. Is that they are seekers. They want to find the truth, and they're skeptic for a reason.
Right.
Because they just don't want to fall for anything. You know what I mean?
Yeah, a lot of them didn't become skeptics because they wanted to believe in unicorns instead of God.
Right.
They became skeptics because they didn't think the evidence was there.
Right.
Now, granted, some people become skeptics because they're just angry. But a lot of them really want to know the truth. They want to know the evidence.
Right.
And you got to take them seriously. It's much easier to just roll your eyes at someone and blow somebody off.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if they say, well, you know what? I don't think the teleological argument is rational because I don't think there's good design in the universe. It's much easier to go, there is good design. What a stupid thing to say. And just ignore what they have to say and move on. Which honestly is what a lot of Christians do. Is what I even did years ago. I think I did because sometimes I'd have fear inside.
Uh-huh.
They would make this argument and I would get a little worried, a little nervous. What if they're right? And I wouldn't want to check into it. I wouldn't take them seriously because I thought if I took them seriously, they might be right.
Right. And that's the one thing though. If a non-Christian skeptic comes up to you as a Christian and says, hey man, I'm not so sure about this, and you don't know how to answer back to them, the best thing to do is say, you know what?
Let me figure it out.
You got a point. Let me go figure that out for you and I'll get right back to you.
Yeah, no, I have never had a conversation where I say, you know, I don't know the answer to that. I'm gonna look it up later.
Right.
Or someone went, nope, you don't know it right now, therefore I win.
Right.
That's never happened.
Right.
So, but don't roll your eyes. You know, Proverbs 12:1, we make all our ministry leaders memorize this verse at our church.
Mm-hmm.
And Proverbs 12:1 says, whoever loves discipline loves knowledge. But listen, he who hates correction is stupid.
Amen.
If you hate being corrected, you're stupid. So when a skeptic tells you something, don't just say, you know what, I'm not going to listen to that. Take them seriously. So mistake number one, not taking our own religion seriously. Mistake number two, not taking skeptics seriously.
Amen.
Mistake number three, not actually listening.
Come on, that's not a real problem, is it? What'd you say?
Well, sorry, I wasn't listening. Christians do this all the time. They say things like, well, if evolution's true, why are there still monkeys? They aren't listening to what the scientists are saying.
Right.
This is not, I'm not even going to get into that today.
Right, because it's, correct me if I'm wrong, it's about branches, not just a linear movement.
Yes, it's not like you have, well, first of all, it's not like you have animal A, and then they all evolve to animal B, and animal A is done with. That doesn't happen.
Right.
Second of all, it wasn't that monkeys came about and we came directly from monkeys.
Mm-hmm.
The evolutionists suggest that, well, I'm not even going to get into it, but that is a crazy wrong statement. We've dealt with that on their shows. So you have to go look up and you have to listen to what they're saying before you can even know whether they're right or wrong.
Right.
Proverbs 18:13 says, to answer before listening, that is folly and shame.
Yeah, and you know, people prove it all the time.
Oh yeah. I mean, how many times are you don't listen to what someone's actually saying and then they point out what they actually said and you have to come back red faced and be like, dude,
duh. Right.
I wasn't listening. I hate it when my kids don't listen. So let's not be my kids. You know, let's not do what 5-year olds do.
Amen.
So, all right, that's number three. Number four, Dave.
Not defining terms or allowing terminology to be dictated to us or about us.
Yeah. For instance, someone may say, and not all skeptics do this, but some people do. They say, you know what? You don't believe in evolution. Well, you know what? You didn't really define your term there. What do you mean by evolution?
Because there are two types.
Well, we would define it into multiple types of evolution. Mm-hmm. But when they say evolution, what do they mean? You know, first, let's listen. Let's, you know, see what they have to say about it. But then also, I'm not going to allow them to define what I mean.
Right.
If they say you don't believe in evolution, you know, I'm not sure what you mean by evolution, because if you simply mean changes in species over time, absolutely, I believe in evolution.
Right.
I believe if you put all the blonde-haired, blue-eyed people on an island in the Pacific, you'd have a lot of sunburned people within a few generations.
Right.
You know, ba-dum-ching. But I believe in evolution of that kind.
Right.
Now, if you're talking about when one species randomly jumps and turns into a whole different species, I don't believe in that kind of evolution. I don't see the evidence for that type of evolution. You also might want to ask, not even the word evolution, but yes, what do you mean believe? You say, I don't believe in evolution. Well, what do you mean by that? Do you mean, like, do I trust evolution, or do I not trust evolution based on the evidence or without the evidence? Like, what do you mean when you say I believe it?
Right. Here's the thing. When you allow somebody else to define your beliefs or your stance, then you're always going to be arguing from a position of defense.
Right.
And you'll never be able to actually win an argument, per se.
Alan Robinson, the executive director of our denomination, he always says this phrase, let's unpack that. He says words are like suitcases. And every time you use a word, you kind of like have to open it up and you have to unpack what you mean by that. Because you say God, mm-hmm. and I say God. But when you say God, you know, I speak with some Mormons and I talk to them about God and Jesus. And when they say Jesus, they actually mean something different than when I say Jesus.
Right.
When they say salvation, they mean something different than when I say salvation. We have to, whoever we're talking to, define our terms a little better, not just allow people to tell us what we believe. Mm-hmm. So that's number four. All right. Now, Dave?
Yes.
Number five. This one's big for us.
Yes. The phrase,
you just have to believe. We do not like that phrase. Ew, just get it out of here, okay?
The Bible has never been a proponent of total blind faith.
Thank you. Thank you, Dave.
You're welcome.
That was an appropriate comment at that moment.
Yeah,
that was very good.
I've been hanging around Revolution Church a lot.
Hebrews 11:1 actually defines faith. Okay, so you want to know what Christian faith is? Let's look to the scriptures.
Right.
And Hebrews 11:1 says, now faith is, and it gives you two things, confidence in what we hope for and assurance about what we do not see.
Right.
Now let's just ask the question, how do you gain confidence in something? By not having any evidence for it at all?
No.
No, not at all. And then it says, how do you get assurance about something you don't see? You just cover your eyes and say, well, I haven't seen it, but I'm just going to be absolutely assured about it.
Absolutely not.
No, you can be assured about something you don't see because there's been other witnesses. There's been evidence that something exists. If you don't see the money in your bank account because you can't physically see it,
right.
You can be assured it's there because when you swipe your card, it rings up. Right. When you go to withdraw money, they give you money.
Right.
So you're assured there's money there, even though you don't physically see it.
Right. That's the crazy thing about confidence. I mean, the word itself, when I was in the Army, they put us through the confidence course, right? Yeah, because I'm a young kid. I'm like 19 years old.
Yeah.
Going through the confidence course. I'm like, oh, I'm not very confident. What do they call that, a confidence course? I'm not very confident. But at the end of it, you realize, hey, man, I just conquered a whole bunch of fear.
Dude. Yes.
You know?
Thank you.
So you gain confidence by experience. We don't just gain
and
confidence.
Evidence.
Yeah, and evidence. We don't just gain confidence just out of nowhere.
That's right. Oh, this is good. All right, now we got a Bible contradiction to do. We're going to hit right on the other side of this break. And we're also going to try to answer a listener question as well as do the final four pieces of information.
We got
number
this.
Six. Number six error is on the flip of number five.
Okay.
Number six error is not allowing for anything mystical or spiritual. You know, just saying, well, unless I understand it completely, I'm not going to talk about it. No, Isaiah 55, God says, my thoughts are not your thoughts. Neither are your ways my ways, declares the Lord.
Mm-hmm.
As the heavens are higher than the earth, so my ways are higher than your ways. My thoughts than your thoughts. You're not going to understand everything.
Right. That's
ever.
Deep.
And you can't go into a conversation pretending like you understand everything about God.
Because you don't.
So maybe this is about humility. I don't know. But it's not allowing for the mystical or the spiritual in a religious discussion is ridiculous.
Yep.
We believe in the mystical. We believe in the spiritual. So
Amen.
We got to allow for that. And that's a mistake sometimes we make.
Right.
All right. Revolution Church, 9 o'clock, 11 o'clock every Sunday morning. And
yep.
Get over to truthrevolution.tv. Maybe you're interested in supporting. Maybe you're interested in learning. Either way, get over there right now. Hey, this is Pastor Jeff from Revolution Church.
And I'm Dave. You know, God cares more about what's on the inside of a person than the outside.
That's right. Join us Sunday morning at 9 or 11 a.m. Check out SalinaRevolution.com.
What if someone had never been to church before?
Most people here hadn't been for a long time, if ever, so you'll fit in fine.
What to wear? Just be yourself. Jeans, t-shirt, tats, whatever.
Revolution Church, Sunday morning, 9 or 11 a.m.
SalinaRevolution.com or check us out on Facebook.
SalinaRevolution.com.
Revolution!
Hi, this is Pastor Jeff from Revolution Church. Not only am I the host of the Truth Revolution radio program, but I'm also a foster parent. Did you know that there are only 20 or 30 children in Salina that need to be adopted right now? Did you know that there are children in foster care who want to live in Salina, but are sometimes placed in other towns because we don't have enough foster homes here? I want to challenge you to consider foster care today. If you're interested in doing foster care, go to kfapa.com. That's K-F-A-P-A, as in the Kansas Foster and Adoptive Parent Association.com. K-F-A-P-A.com, and get more information. You can request information, email and ask any questions you want, or possibly even sign up to take a class about foster parenting. It's easier and more difficult than you'd ever imagine, but it's also more rewarding than you'd ever imagine. Consider fostering and helping a child in need today.
Truth Shots from TruthRevolution.tv and Revolution Church. Here's your host, Dave, and Pastor Jeff.
Do science and religion conflict?
One author has seen four possibilities. They either conflict and are incompatible, or they're independent and just work in their own areas.
Or they dialogue, that is, they share information, or they integrate, meaning it's possible for them to work with each other regularly.
We prefer the dialogue or integration viewpoints. We believe that science is an attempt to find the truth.
And so is Christianity.
Both science and Christianity can contribute to the development of inclusive of metaphysics.
For instance, the teleological argument infers the existence of a creator from our understanding of the natural world.
On the flip side, understanding the mind of God gives us insight into the world and belief that there is order and logic behind how things work.
Similar to how early scientists like Newton, Kepler, and Copernicus viewed things.
For Christians, it should just make sense that studying the world around us should fit with studying the one who created it.
Amen.
TruthRevolution.tv.
Did you know that Truth Revolution is supported by Revolution Church and listeners like you?
It takes quite a bit of time and money to produce a quality radio show.
If you find Truth Revolution helpful, a donation would be a powerful way to make sure the message keeps going out.
This ministry is doing more than Dave and I imagined it would at the beginning.
You got that right.
And as we grow, we want to keep the goal the same. To be the place where faith and reason meet.
Donations are accepted at www.truthrevolution.tv or Revolution Church.
Truth Revolution.
We are back.
Yep.
We're talking about dumb Christian mistakes.
We've done 1 through 6.
Yeah, but hey, let me make sure that everybody is very clear on what we're talking about.
Okay.
We're not talking about dumb Christians making mistakes. We're talking about dumb mistakes that Christians make.
Well, yeah.
Oh, come on, Jeff.
Yes, you're right. You're right.
Thank you very much.
I don't want to call.
There may be some of one group in there, but let's be honest. A lot of really smart and intelligent Christians make these stupid mistakes.
Yes. Mistake number one was not taking our own religion seriously.
Martin Luther King gets to call himself a Christian because he actually practiced loving his enemies.
Okay, ouch. So we got to take our religion seriously. Number two, not taking skeptics seriously.
Right.
Number three, not actually listening.
Huh? Number four, not defining terms or allowing terminology to be dictated to us or about us.
And number five, the phrase, you just have to believe.
Mm-hmm.
Faith is not blind. And error number six is the flip of number five, where you're not allowing for anything mystical or spiritual.
Right.
You have to allow for mystical and spiritual things. So we don't want to make the error that you just believe, just have faith, just believe it without the evidence. But we also don't want to say we understand everything.
Right, because we don't.
We don't. God is a spiritual being, and his ways are way higher than our ways.
Right. There are many mysteries that are involved with God and the Christian religion.
Yeah, absolutely.
You know, you're not going to know everything.
All right, Dave, ready for Bible Contradiction?
I think I am.
Bible Contradiction.
All right, we got a triple shot Bible Contradiction for you today.
A triple shot?
Yeah, kind of, sort of. All right, this Bible Contradiction today is brought to you by the fine folks over at infidels.org.
Yes, sir.
All right. Is it folly to be wise, or is it not?
Oh.
All right.
Well, come on.
Well, you know, come on.
All right.
Well, this is what they ask.
I'll grant them a little credit. Let's see what they have to say.
Proverbs 4:7, the beginning of wisdom is this: get wisdom, though it costs all you have, get understanding.
Okay, so we want to be wise.
Right. Ecclesiastes 1:18. For with much wisdom comes much sorrow. The more knowledge, the more grief.
Okay, so...
It may be folly to be wise.
Okay.
However, 1 Corinthians 1:19 gets kind of militant about it.
Oh.
I will destroy the wisdom of the wise. The intelligence of the intelligent I will frustrate. And it right before that says, for it is written. I forgot to say that part. But
okay.
Basically, here it goes. No, it's not folly. Yes, it is folly. And it is totally folly towards destruction.
Okay.
What is it, Jeff?
Well, we're going to use our cracked acronym. Dave, do you remember what our cracked acronym stands for?
Yes, it's...
C stands for...
Context.
Okay. And then R stands for...
Revealed. Revealed, yeah.
And the A stands for...
Author's intent.
Yes, author's intent is huge. This is the one we're going to camp on today for a little bit. We have to know what the intention of these authors was. Now, when you go to the 1 Corinthians verse, this is the Apostle Paul, and he is writing to a church in Corinth. And if you look at verse 19, it says, okay, he's talking on, like, the words of God. I will destroy the wisdom of the wise, and the discernment of the discerning I will bring to naught. But is Paul's point here, what's his intention? His intention to say, so guys, don't try to be smart?
No.
No, jump back to verse 17. This is the context. Mm-hmm. He says, for Christ sent me not to baptize, but to preach the gospel, not in wisdom of words. Let the cross of Christ should be made void, for the word of the cross is to them that perish foolishness.
Ah.
But unto us who are being saved, it's the power of God. For it's written, I will destroy the wisdom of the wise. Okay, in other words, Paul's saying, look, some people think that Jesus Christ dying on the cross is just foolishness.
Right.
It's just a stupid thing.
Mm-hmm.
And what God's going to do, he's going to destroy that wisdom of theirs because they think they're being intelligent because, oh, well, I'm wise because Jesus died on the cross. That's foolish. That's stupid. And God's going to destroy that kind of wisdom.
What they're talking about is untrue wisdom.
Untrue wisdom is what God's going to destroy.
Right.
So he's going to destroy folly or man's wisdom, not real wisdom. Okay, so that was the intention there.
All right, so we'll kick that one out the door.
Now, in Ecclesiastes, this intention is something entirely different. You've got, this is written by Solomon, who was one of the wisest men who ever lived, and he was given accolades by God for wanting to be wise.
Right.
And so he's experiencing sorrow because of his wisdom. He doesn't actually say, don't be wise.
Right.
Actually, if you look through his books, he talks about wisdom very highly, but he's giving you a warning. Look, dude, you want to be wise, but I'm going to be honest with you. When you're wise, sometimes life sucks.
Right. This is the exact same thing as him saying ignorance is bliss.
Yeah, it kind
of
is.
Because if you're going to be ignorant, then you won't know some of the things that you would know. And knowing some things, actually, if you actually know what goes on, like in a slaughterhouse, are you going to be a better person for it?
Yeah.
Probably not.
So, but he does say in verse 17, it's interesting, I applied my heart to know wisdom, which they should have quoted 17 for the contradiction. Mm-hmm. It says, I applied my heart to know wisdom and to know madness and folly. I perceive that this also was striving after the wind.
Ah.
As if it's foolish to pursue wisdom. But what's funny, you read the book of Ecclesiastes and you find out that he is pursuing a life of vanity, and he believes that his whole life is vain, but he comes to this conclusion at the end of his book that no, wisdom's not vain and God's really not vain, but you're actually walking through a process with him.
Right. This is a study in wisdom.
It's a study. It's not a bullet point.
Right. Yeah.
And so they're pulling this bullet point out of the study, but it's a process that he's going through. And then in Proverbs 4, I mean, this is a principle that's true.
Amen.
Get wisdom. And so this isn't a Bible contradiction at all when you actually read these with the author's intention.
Bible contradiction.
All right, we're going to stop calling those Bible contradictions one of these days.
Right. All right, number 7 mistake. Accepting the claim that it all depends on us to prove God exists.
That is not true.
Sometimes we do this. We're like, atheists or skeptics will say, well, you know, you have posited that God exists. I don't posit that. I'm an atheist, so I don't make a claim. But actually, I'm going to go ahead and say that the just because I claim that God exists doesn't mean all the evidence is on me.
Mm-hmm.
Because we actually have some evidence, and they've got to do something with that evidence. If there was a car wreck outside and I said, I bet someone got hurt, nobody would say, well, come on now, let's be agnostic about this.
Right.
You know, let's I mean, if it was a bad wreck, they they wouldn't say, you can't convince me of that until you bring me the proof. No, they would say, oh, you know what? My experience has been in situations like that. Probably someone got hurt. And so we're saying, look at the teleological argument. Look at the cosmological argument. These things exist. There's probably some sort of creator of this universe. They've got to answer those. The onus is on them now.
Right. And here's the thing is that there is so much actual proof out there for the existence of God that you can't possibly know it all for one.
That's right.
And for second of all, what you said. You can give them the evidence, but you cannot force them to believe that evidence is true.
Right. Now, if they're agnostic, they might just say they don't know.
Mm-hmm.
If they're an atheist or a new atheist from that book that we were talking about, they're actually making a truth claim. Some of them are. They're actually making the truth claim that there is no God. And so that's a claim that they need to verify as well.
Right.
So, all right. Mistake number 8, not knowing the Bible.
That never happens. Come on, man.
Never happens, right? You know, I'm doing these seminars, the cracked acronym, doing these all around the country. And the guy that I'm doing them with, his name's Timothy Fisher, great guy. And he was in his section. He was talking about knowing the Bible and talking about meeting with some Jehovah's Witnesses,
right?
And or some Mormons. I can't remember which one it was. And he said that he was intimidated by them earlier on in his life. Because they knew the lie better than he knew the truth.
Mm-hmm.
I love that phrase.
Well, they study and they study.
And so many people know the lies better than we know the truth.
Right.
You know what? Proverbs 19:2 says, it's not good to have zeal without knowledge.
That can lead to very bad things.
If you're going to be passionate about God, you better know what you're talking about. You got to study your Bible.
Amen.
And number 9, the error here.
Not listening to Truth Revolution enough.
Whoa! Yeah, what? That's right. That's right. Yep. You're just not doing it enough. You got to listen. All right.
Yeah, and the key term there is actually listen.
You know. Okay. We're not just being self-promoting here.
Right.
The point is you got to study hard. You got to go to other sources than your own brain. Number 8, you got to know the Bible. But number 9, you got to go to some other sources too. We have some great partners in ministry that we do work with.
Amen.
We have some books that we love. And I mean, these are important things. So, you know, get over to reasons.org.
You know,
I mean, get over to J. Warner Wallace's blog.
Amen.
Get over to Rocio Christie's site. I mean, these are great places where you can study and learn.
Yeah, you know, the Bible says that iron sharpens iron, and men make each other better. That's saying basically you can't do this by yourself.
Yeah,
get the more the merrier. Get around people, get around other programs and stuff like that.
That's absolutely right. All right, we're going to try to answer. You know what? I don't know if we have time for a listener question. Let's do number 10. We'll see how much time we have. Okay, number 10:
believing charlatans and false teachers.
Ugh. All right.
How do you know?
All right. I want to be a little careful here because I don't want to be judgmental to people who are possibly Christian brothers. But let's be honest.
Mm-hmm.
A non-believer looks at Benny Hinn and laughs because it's so obviously fake.
Right.
They look at Joel Osteen and instinctively know he's not selling something real. Shouldn't we, with the Holy Spirit, know this too?
We should.
Why do we fall for this? 2 Timothy 4:3-4 says, the time will come when people will not put up with sound doctrine. Instead, to suit their own desires, they will gather around themselves teachers to hear what their itching ears want to hear. Listen to what Osteen says.
It's what the scripture says. God wishes above all things that we prosper and be in health. Here's the requirement, even as our soul prospers. This is saying, if you will prosper in your soul, on the inside, then you can prosper on the outside.
That is not what it's saying. That is not what the Bible says.
Wait a minute.
Why do we put up with this?
Wait a minute. Didn't Jesus say that in this life you will have struggle?
Yes. I bet he hasn't preached on that much.
No. Uh-uh.
Anyway, we cannot put up with these charlatans, these false teachers. At the same time, we're trying to tell atheists that we're intelligent people.
Right.
They're not. They don't fall for it. They're not going to fall for it. We can't fall for
it. Right. The key is to become intelligent in our own faith.
Right. You know? All right, get on over to truthrevolution.tv if you want some more information. We're going to have truth shots every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday.
Amen.
There are 60 seconds of truth.
Yeah.
All right.
Three times a week, man.
And get out to Revolution Church, 9 a.m., 11 a.m. every Sunday morning. If you go to truthrevolution.tv, we'll have a link there so you can watch live online, or you can just follow up, get more in touch with Revolution.
Yep, or if you're in town, 1111 West South.
That's right. You can donate to us online, truthrevolution.tv, and I'm just glad you guys are listening. I can't believe God is using us to help people like you. Thanks for participating in our ministry.